The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerate.
Is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Saturday Showtime Pay-Per-View featuring Gervonta Tank Davis fighting Leo Santa Cruz. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, hour number two. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. Here's Twitter at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. And before we get into hour number two, I just want to remind you, join us tomorrow at 5 Under Golf in Beaumont for a Miller Coors Roadshow. 5 Under Golf is a premier entertainment venue of Southeast Texas. Come check out their state-of-the-art indoor and outdoor facility, live music, mouthwatering menu items, and, of course, their happy hour Miller Coors specials. So join us this Friday from 2 to 7 at 5 Under Golf in Beaumont. And don't forget, we're doing Happy Hour ESPN 97.5 style from 4 to 5 with me, AJ, Josh Innes, and Tyler. And some guys here, we think.
Yeah, Happy Hour is going to be interesting tomorrow. I'm not guaranteeing it's going to work. In fact, I'm guaranteeing it's probably not going to work.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go.
But we're going to try. Oh, yeah. We'll have Aaron and Trey and... I'm sure Jack and some interns here, and they'll be having some fun. Nick will be here.
Okay, who's going to be the adult and keep Trey from getting in too much trouble?
No one. Oh, but I didn't bring any Four Loko. So, Aaron, can you make sure you grab a Four Loko for someone to shotgun with Tyler?
Okay.
That's one thing we will need. Yeah, besides that, I mean, we're going to try to be in two places at once. And on Twitch, although like our show, like Fred and I and Josh won't be on Twitch because we'll be in Beaumont.
Well, Tyler and I were talking about this. He's got a connector, so he might be able to run the audio to Josh's phone, and we could broadcast you guys on Josh's channel and us here back in studio on the ESPN channel.
Would that make a difference?
People can split screen it if they want.
Would that make a difference? Like, would that be all? I'm concerned about is like the delay and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that wouldn't be us seeing each other. We just don't rely on that for communication. But if people wanted to see you guys out there, we could do that. And if they wanted to see both of us, they could split screen it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. We'll figure it out. We're going to play it by ear, as they say, and maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. But just let's temper expectations for happy hour tomorrow, all right?
Yeah, yeah. But it is important that one of you guys keep an eye on Trey in case he falls down again. We can't have that.
Oh, boy.
There are still liability issues, even with the waiver.
Aaron's in charge of him.
All right.
I don't have anything to do.
Yeah, what do you got going
on? Yeah. So, I don't pay much attention to recruiting, but did you see, like, the top quarterback decommitted from Texas for Ohio State, it looks like?
I saw that. Yeah, that's, I mean... Again, I don't know. I don't know how much about recruiting either, but I do know that if you've got the number one quarterback in the country and he decommits,
it's a bad look.
That's not good. It's not good. But I mean, he's a 2022 guy, Dallas guy. I don't know. I'm guessing it's probably warranted given what the uncertainty about Tom Herman. I mean, it's never a good thing if you're a big-time recruit and you want to go play for Tom Herman, and all you've heard this year is, when are they going to fire Tom Herman? You know?
Yeah. More not good news for the Longhorns.
No. Nope. Keeps getting worse, doesn't it?
I mean, I don't know how many wins they're going to wind up with this year. But
and from what I understand, where did you see that he's committing to Ohio State?
It said Ohio State's the
front runner.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard as well. But the way that I read his thing on Twitter earlier today, and it sounded like like Texas isn't off the table. It's just he doesn't want it to be firm right now. And here's the other, like, dude, this guy's still got a whole senior year to play.
Yeah.
He could break. Yeah.
But I don't think you it's pretty rare when a guy decommits from a school and then decides 6 months later, yeah, I guess I'm going to go there after all.
That's true.
So, but the speculation is Ohio State. So Ohio State paid him more money.
I agree. You know, that's probably what happened.
They need to open the coffers a little bit more.
My son, the high school that he'll be going to next year is Klein Kane, who currently has the number one ranked running back in the entire country.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where's he going?
I don't know. I don't know if he's committed yet, but his name's Jadon Blue.
That sounds like a future LSU Tiger to me.
Does he?
Like. Yeah, or an Aggie.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not way into recruiting, but my son was asking me about him.
That is kind of cool that he's going to that school.
Yeah.
God, he's already going to be in high school next year?
Yeah.
Wow. Dude, I really do.
I didn't let him play football this year, so he's probably not going to make the team now. So he's going to be like a loser kid in Texas who doesn't play football.
Isn't he guaranteed a spot on the team? He just won't start.
Yeah, but I mean, who wants to be that kid?
I mean, if he wants to work his way up, well, onto the starting roster for next year,
and
that's how you do it.
Yeah, and plus, kids get hurt. Suddenly, you get an opportunity. You get out there and kick ass, and you impress the coaches.
So, according to 24/7, here's his short list: Alabama, Auburn, Georgia, LSU, Oklahoma. Looks like he's going to do okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll either go to Bama or Georgia and be a top 10 pick.
Yeah, he'll do all right.
Yeah, yeah. Those schools are okay. One of our texters coaches at Klein Kane.
All right.
So, there you go. 713.
Is he a baseball coach? That's who I need to get in touch with.
didn't say, but he can text us and let us know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not too late to let him play football because...
No, it's
especially,
not.
Especially, but I'm guessing that's a pretty big school.
Yeah, it's
with
huge.
A lot of, yeah, I mean, but I'm sure they have a JV team and a sophomore team and a freshman team and all that stuff.
I think they at least have a freshman team. I don't know. I don't really know, honestly.
I'm getting some texts that I don't understand, so... 713-780 ESPN. Make sure you come out to Beaumont tomorrow. I'm really excited. I will probably get there in time for Josh's show. Just so I can hang out a little bit and check out some of this, you know, try to get an easier golf course this time.
Oh, are we going to have a challenge again?
yeah, let's do it. But apparently we had the hardest one and we were like shooting 65 and 68 for 9 holes.
I want to play a links course where there's no trees
and a short one at that.
Oh, I want long.
No,
baby.
No. You don't want long.
Show off the guns.
Long is way overrated. Plus, it didn't matter. Like, we knocked the crap out of the ball, and it'd go like 180 yards.
I mean, mine would go at least into the fairway.
Yeah. Yeah, so 180 yards in the fairway versus 180 yards in the rough or the trap or, you know, on a small kid's head. Yeah. Whatever. So, but yeah, I mean, they got a lot of fun stuff there, and
it's a cool spot, man.
It really is, and looking forward to getting back over there and just, you know, getting to see some of the folks. And again, if you're not someone who's comfortable coming out to social settings, then just hang out and, you know, hang around until we'll be back over there so you can wait for the next one. But if you are, please come see us. It'd be good to see a bunch of you guys.
Juggalo Trey saying, should I go to Beaumont? I'm thinking about going. Maybe so. And Juggalo Trey be very famous in Beaumont.
Yeah, he kind of would. And it's actually since he's in Baytown, it's probably closer than the station.
Yeah. But we can't have Juggalo Trey getting all drunk and falling down while we're at a client thing.
Yeah. Y'all can babysit him.
We got show to do.
Okay, you know what?
Josh can babysit him. Josh is staying in Beaumont.
Can we just say I have to do that every week?
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Josh and Jilly have a hotel room,
and Josh has offered Jilly to Trey. So there's potential.
There you go.
Menage.
Carl wants to weigh in on your Klein Kane there. Earl. Sorry, Earl. My eyes are terrible.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Earl.
Hey, man. You guys want some scoop on the baseball or football or what? I'll give you a little bit of insight on both if you want.
I don't know that I really need any scoop. I just know. I don't think that my guess is my son is just going to play baseball next year or try out for baseball. I don't know that he's going to get into football because he's going to have a bunch of he'll be playing baseball during the fall too.
Okay, so baseball, from what I understand, there's not a true freshman team. There's a freshman sophomore team, and then there's the JV team, and then there's of course the varsity. So,
okay.
If he's playing, you know, flag ball, he's going to make the team.
All right.
It's a pretty good program out there. Does he play for one of the local teams out there, the Scorpions or somebody now?
Oh, he played for Lynx for most of his coming up, and then now he's on a team called the Stars. So yeah, he's been in the area for the whole time, and he'll play. He's going to do their. This is incredibly boring to everybody else. I'm sorry. Their prep team. So the Klein Kane prep team is out at the farm league. He'll play in that. So. Yeah, Earl, I appreciate it. But yeah, the rest of the audience is probably terribly bored by that.
I'm sorry, did you say something?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Just kidding. Actually, no, there's other people that have kids that they're doing stuff like this that probably are interested. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, it's AJ Hoffman. It's fall and we could all use a little awesome. Well, our friends at Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collections for guys, guaranteed to upgrade your life. From style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and outdoor gear, Box of Awesome has collections for every part of your life. Bespoke Post only sends guys the best stuff every month. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered. Who wouldn't want awesome stuff sent to them every month, right? It's like Christmas on your doorstep. Whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads for when the temperature dips, no matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered. To get started, take the quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers will help them to pick the right Box of Awesome for you. They release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs only $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BLITZ at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, promo code BLITZ for 20% off your first box.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Saturday Showtime Pay-Per-View featuring Gervonta Tank Davis fighting Leo Santa Cruz. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Someone 3 says, it's good to understand how kids get into certain high school programs and how individual HS programs work. Good information, a service to the community, not boring.
Okay.
Okay, do you feel better now?
A little bit, but...
Okay.
Listen, I blab about my kid playing baseball enough on this show.
Well, it's natural. People are interested now because you've talked about it for so long. They want to know. They want to get in on the action when he's like plus 150 to go number one overall in the draft.
Well, yeah, I want to get in on that action too.
But... Yeah, I think anybody with kids who's got, especially younger kids who are, you know, because we have a lot of listeners who are doing the select baseball and stuff. I think they're interested in it. They're more interested than me talking about my damn dog.
That's true.
You know, so, yeah, which I pretty much stopped doing because there's nothing to report. But,
well, what about people who want to get in when the number one disc catching dog in the world?
Well, you know what? She's not certified yet, so she's not on the board.
Oh, okay.
But when she gets on the board, load up.
Okay.
She's going to be a world champion.
The world.
Okay, let's try TJ first.
What's going on, guys?
What's going on, TJ?
Hey, man, I like to piggyback off that. I got a 6-year-old son. He's a left-handed. I want to put him in baseball, and he's switch-handed, too. He can do it from right or left, but he throws with his left hand. So that's a good commentary for that. I've been thinking about getting him in baseball.
Do it. Good sport for these kids.
So, and also, I want to come in on, what do you think about John Jones' comment about Khabib being pound-for-pound number one? And I know it's not Wednesday, but what are the odds that JJ gets traded before the deadline? And I hate him.
All right. As far as Khabib, I think Khabib's the pound-for-pound best in the world. You know, John Jones has been in some fights. Hell, there's been a couple fights that people thought he lost. And you could argue that, well, you know, judge here or there, that could have gone the other way. And I don't think that takes away from what John Jones has done. Khabib has dominated every single fight he's ever been in. In 29 fights, he's lost one round on the scorecards. He is the most dominant fighter I've ever seen. And that includes, and I'm an old school Fedor head, and no one's ever going to be as good as Fedor, but Khabib is pound for pound the best guy in the world. He is just a force. So it's a bummer to see him go. And then as far as what are the odds on JJ?
I don't think it's going to happen.
Okay.
I'll
put it at 55.
It would be the smart choice. It would be the smart thing to do. It would be good for him. I don't know that Cal McNair has it in him. In fact, I'm almost convinced that he doesn't. I'm going to say 10% chance. So,
I think I'll go a little higher. I think it's in that 40 to 50 range.
I hope. See, this is where usually I'm the one that has the, well, I hope this is going to happen. You're hoping. I'm being realistic.
Yeah.
So, let's try Lamont. Supplement.
Hey guys, how's it going, man? I have two part question. Which Bill O'Brien or Morey, who left the teams, their prospective teams, in the worst conditions? And my second question is about Will Fuller, because I've been hearing Will Fuller name being involved in trades. Would it make sense to just wait him out and try to get the compensatory pick out of him? That's all I have, fellas, and I'm out.
I don't think so. I think it's best to get what you can get for him.
Yeah, because the compensatory pick's not, you're not getting a third.
No, you're talking about getting a fourth or fifth round pick. I think you could get a third or a fourth for him. I would just do it. As far as who's left in a bigger lurch, John and I actually talked about that a little bit today. To me, it's the Rockets. The Rockets are in worse condition because there's no dead cap. You're just stuck with these guys. These are guaranteed contracts. These are guys that are getting paid no matter what. You can't cut somebody. You can, but you can't get any relief from cutting somebody. This is what you've got. So we've talked plenty about, you know, you cut some guys, you can maybe turn this Texans thing around. The Rockets don't have that luxury. They've got three guys that are going to be paid a lot of money for the next 2 years at least here. And there's no real way out unless somebody can decides they want to trade. There's no real way to get out of that.
What teams? Yeah, I think I agree because I don't understand the NBA salary cap the way I do the NFL salary cap. I never sat down with someone who was actually a cap expert on the NBA to explain to me how you can, because there's so many mid-level exceptions and all that stuff. And I have learned a lot about the NFL cap from a guy who actually did it and knows what he's doing. And, you know, and that's why you could go through and look and say, all right, you can do this, 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 and this. And boom, you got $36 million to play with next year. So the Texans, and again, caveat, if they get the right guy, could easily get rid of the Bernardrick McKinneys and a bunch of these bad contracts, sign some, you know, mid-level free agents for a lot less that are going to give you the same production, by the way. It's not like somebody's going to come in here and be worse than Bernardrick McKinney.
Right.
And you could fill a lot of holes. You can't fill them all, but you'd have enough money to add an impact guy. And, you know, or two even, to your defense, which you're going to need. And then you're just even, you don't have any draft picks, but you're going to have to hope you draft a receiver and a hopefully a running back with your early picks. Spend some money in free agency on defense. And lo and behold, you could be back in the, at least in the AFC South hunt next year. But it would take the right guy, and you can't make any mistakes. That's the other thing. You can't go and sign
Ed Reed.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can't do any Ed Reeds. You can't do any more Zach Cunningham contracts.
Can't trade for David Johnson. You can't pay your kicker more than he needs to be paid. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff.
But a real GM theoretically wouldn't do that. And that's what they're going to need. And if they, but again, I don't know that they're going to get the right guy because, you know, I don't see anybody in this organization going, oh, well, you know what? Now the bill's gone. Let's do this, this, and this. These are all the things we wanted to do. No, I see the same team and I see the same plays and I see the same play calls and I see David Johnson still out there. Please get this guy off the field.
Yeah.
Please. At this point, I would cut him.
David Johnson?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would give Duke Johnson a game or two to see if he can play.
They put CJ ProSize. They signed him back to the practice squad.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I've seen enough of him. I know he can't play. But, you know, there's guys you can pick up all the time and go grab somebody who's on somebody's practice squad and give them a chance.
Well, we've said Buddy Howell's a guy. Buddy Howell? You don't know if Buddy Howell can play or not.
Again,
so
give him a chance.
Yeah, why not try? I don't know if the guy can play. This is his third season in the NFL. Why don't I know if he's worth a damn yet? You know?
And guess what? A guy like that, you use him on special teams. And you know, I if it were me, okay, if I'm GM of the Texans, Cal McNair calls me and says, look, I'll pay you some money to come GM for this week while we come up on the trade deadline.
Okay.
And I'm fielding every offer for JJ, but I'm asking him first. Like I said earlier, I'm going to him and saying, hey, man, your call. You want to be here? It's going to take a year or two to get this thing right. You don't have a lot of career left. If you want to be here, though, you're here. If not, I'm going to take the best offer. And then I'm going to deal him, and I'm hopefully getting a two, and then maybe I scam somebody into a one. And I'm trading Will Fuller for whatever I can get. And all these other guys that we've talked about, if somebody will take Whitney Mercilus or somebody will take Zach Cunningham, I'll take seventh-round picks for those guys. Just take them, please.
Yeah.
Warm bucket of spit. And David Johnson gets cut right now. I mean, enough of this. And we'll say, okay, give Duke a chance for a couple of weeks and then give Buddy Howell a chance. And let's go, you know, because a quality GM would go look at some other practice squads and say, you know what? This is a guy that we liked in the draft. Let's go sign him.
Yep.
But not going to happen. Because Jack Easterby would go, oh, no, wait a minute. We should trade Laramie Tunsil for a third-round pick. I think that's great value.
No, don't do that.
All right. Quick break. Brad Powers up next. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Saturday Showtime Pay-Per-View featuring Gervonta Tank Davis fighting Leo Santa Cruz. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Bauer and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. It's Thursday at 5:30. Time for the guru of college football gambling. And college basketball, but right now it's college football. You can go to bradpowersports.com to get his information. Follow him on Twitter at bradpowers7. It's Brad Powers. What's going on, buddy?
Not much. How you guys doing on this fine Thursday?
No complaints here, man. It was I don't know about you. I ended up having a good week, probably my best week of the season in college football. So I feel like I was due for one. and I got mine. So I'm you know how it is. Once you have a good weekend, all of a sudden you just expect every weekend to be good.
Yeah, I hear you. It's just I've been at it long enough to know that every
That's not
week,
how it works.
It's like Lou Holtz used to say, you're only as good as your last performance. Or you coach a different team each week, so you bet a different. Every week is different, so you're never as bad as you were the week before or good as the week before.
Well, what are your thoughts on I'll give you a game tonight, the Colorado State-Fresno State game. Colorado State, we didn't get to see last week because their game got COVIDed with New Mexico, but we did see Fresno State, and it wasn't – we didn't see much good. I don't know – and we've talked before about the, you know, having a week – to prepare having not played a game sometimes is an advantage. It seems like last week not having to play and just being able to sit back gives you extra prep time for Fresno. What do you think of this Colorado State-Fresno game?
Yeah, so the stat this year, and I mean it's more pertinent this year than any year prior, but teams playing their first game of the season are 25-10 against the spread against teams that have already played, and they've covered by an average of 5 points per game. So that would say Colorado State. I'm not crazy about Colorado State this year just because I don't think Steve Adazio is that great. He's the former Boston College coach, and if you've been following Boston College football this year, it looks like they've upgraded without him this year. So a lot of off-field issues for them. I'd probably lean Fresno State here. It's not a big bet for me, probably just a pizza bet.
Brad, Coastal Carolina's kind of been a darling this year, and quarterback issues – on Saturday, I think that number went from like 9 to 2.5. They still covered. What do you think happens against Georgia State?
Lane, Georgia State, I just see you're playing your first game on the road as a ranked team. I think that's a little different than being at home. Maybe you're a little excited at home playing that very first game a week ago. Kudos to them. I mean, it shows you how good of a team they are. I mean, and keep in mind, their backup's not a typical backup. He's got 9 starts in his career. His name's Fred Payton, but he certainly is a downgrade compared to Grayson McCall, who I think is a legit starting quarterback at the FBS level. Speaking of that, I think Georgia State has one in Quad Brown so far this year. He's been impressive. I really want a 3. If you can shop around and get one, I think the public's going to want to bet Coastal come Saturday. But I'm going to take Georgia State as long as I get that full 3.
One of the I think the most embarrassing performances we've seen so far this year happened last week, where Michigan State gets housed by Rutgers. That should never happen, but it's happening. And clearly, I mean, the cupboard was left so bare at Michigan State. The coaching is poor. They've hardly practiced together. 24 points is a lot, especially in a rivalry game. But to me, if Harbaugh is the kind of dude who, if he gets a chance to humiliate you while you're down, he seems like the kind of guy to do it. Is that the vibe you get from him? And do you think that Michigan can really kind of name it against Sparty?
Yeah, I mean, that's the vibe I get. And they certainly can name it, but, I mean, it's 24. It's not like name it when it's totally different when you can name it and it's 17, which is what I'm probably guessing what the line would have been around prior to last week's performances. It certainly didn't help that Michigan blew out Minnesota in a Saturday night primetime ABC game. And, I mean, I tweeted this out on Saturday. I mean, Michigan State had one job. I mean, not mess it up so bad where we couldn't bet against Michigan State a bunch this year, and they go out and lose the game outright. So everyone's going to take notice of that. I'm just priced out. I really want to fade Michigan State, but to me, I'm just priced out of this particular game.
Brad, last week Cincinnati was my biggest play of the year against SMU, and seven point favorites at home against Memphis. I just think the Cincinnati defense is a Power 5 defense, and I'm not sure Memphis is as good, but that number seems about right. Do you have any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I'll take Cincy. You mentioned the defense, significant edge there. I mean, compared to Memphis's defense. And look, they played a similar style offense and shut down SMU. One fluky about that one when you held SMU's offense to under 300 yards. And keep in mind, you know, I get it. SMU's playing without a couple key players that they had at the start of the season. Well, guess what? Memphis is too. I mean, Gainwell's not there. He opted out right before the season. Then they had their best wide receiver, Coxie, opt out just a couple weeks ago. I like that since he's got double revenge for a pair of close losses to Memphis last year. I think that's in the back of their mind, and statistically speaking, they're just the far superior team. So especially if you can find a 6.5 out there, I think the Bearcats are a go for me.
You know, Auburn should be 1-4 right now. And, you know, obviously LSU isn't – they're not LSU of last year. We've seen that. But it looks like maybe they found something in quarterback in Finley. And I'm looking for a reason to bet money against Auburn because I think they're so fraudulent. Is this the right time to do it with LSU?
Not for me. I've been betting against Auburn all year. I think I've had 3 plays against them. And, look, I haven't been impressed at all. But I think it's building the number. I mean, you got a freshman quarterback and LSU making his very first road start. I get it, though. There's not as many fans. That's not a big as deal as usual. But I think all that's priced in. And, you know, what I look at is this. I think this is why LSU's laying 3. I think people are just looking at they got one common opponent here in the last 2 weeks. They both played South Carolina. What happened? Auburn lost to South Carolina. And then what did the LSU do to South Carolina? They housed them by 28. You look at statistically speaking, though, Auburn outgained South Carolina by 184 yards. Last week, South Carolina got outgained by 138 yards. So you got a big disparity as far as the scoreboard there. But the reality is Auburn actually outgained South Carolina by about 50 yards more than what LSU did. To me, that's fine in value there. Even though I hate this Auburn team, I'll take the +3.
Ooh. Well, you got a chance to take +3 with the Longhorns of Texas. 3 points on the road against an unbeaten Oklahoma State team. I mean, it sounds like the book is begging for people to take Oklahoma State. We've talked before about Tom Herman as a dog. What do you think of this matchup?
Yeah, that Tom Herman dog is starting to get priced out. He's 4-5 against the spread last 9 in that role. We started 12-1. So I'm not going to bet it on that reason, but I will take the Longhorns here +3, especially shop around again. I mean, that's going to be a theme of me till the day I die. I think you still maybe find some 3.5, at least in town here in Vegas. Looks like a lot of offshores going to 3, and I would consider that sharp money. Look, I like Sam Ehlinger. I think he's the better quarterback. Spencer Sanders came back from Oklahoma State, gives him a rush dynamic, but he still, even as a second-year starter, turns the football over way too much. He killed me last year on several plays that I had Oklahoma State, and he came back last week and had a couple of key turnovers in that one, and Oklahoma State got backdoored. I'll take the Horns here +3.
Let's go to a matchup that's happening out there in your home state, well, your current state, Nevada at UNLV. UNLV is atrocious, and they put up nothing. They just got owned by San Diego State last week. Nevada got a win in a game where Wyoming's quarterback got hurt 2 minutes into the game, maybe 2 plays into the game. What do you see here, and is this number that's opened at 10 and is now 14, or is the value sucked out of the Nevada side here?
I think it sucked out. I got 8. How about that?
That's pretty good.
Nevada minus 8 on a Sunday morning. That's why I do it. But 14. I mean, at 14, this is one where I'm considering it biting off a piece a little bit on the other side. It's too pricey. I watched both games from last week. UNLV was as bad as anybody could imagine in the first half. But I'll give them credit. They fought back a little bit in the second half, and they were, you know, at least in the fourth quarter, trying to cover that game, but they had a miserable play call there at the goal line. They could have cut the lead down to 14. So at least they showed some fight in the second half, and they didn't completely wave the white flag. Nevada's got the far superior quarterback play. Carson Strong looks like a legit quarterback for them. But, again, rivalry game, 14, brand new first game at Allegiant Stadium here. A lot of excitement for UNLV. I mean, actually, the Rebs, even after I bet Nevada early in the week.
Took everything and more that Western Kentucky had to beat FCS Chattanooga outright. Obviously didn't cover. It looked like they were going to lose that game outright. Now they go to BYU, where BYU has just been beheading inferior teams all season long. Number it stayed pretty solid. Open 28.5. Looks like it's sitting at 28.5 now. Is BYU, because I think BYU, if they want to win by 30, 35, 40, they probably can. Is this a situation where BYU goes all out?
I don't think so. But I'm not going to bet Western Kentucky. I would only bet BYU here, but, you know, it's not a big bet for me. And the reason why, Friday night, they got probably their biggest game of the season. They're at Boise State next Friday night. And do you want Zach Wilson, their quarterback, out there in the fourth quarter? No. Might not need him to be out there in the fourth quarter. I mean, I think they're good enough to maybe get you cover this number in the first 40 minutes of the game. It's Western Kentucky's longest road trip since 1997. They haven't shown anything. They're 0-6 against the spread, and you're right. They should have lost the game to Chattanooga last week. Lean BYU, but it's not a like for me just because I do worry about BYU's motivation to get margin in the second half.
Couple of games around here wanted to get your thoughts on. Houston plus 2.5 at home against Central Florida. I don't think this is the same Central Florida team that we've been seeing dominate the AAC for a while. And then also your thoughts on Texas A&M. Arkansas is not as garbage as they've been either.
I mean, UCF, not a wild about them. They're just they're not buttoned up. I mean, they're last in the country as far as penalties. They make critical turnovers. They haven't been a money-making team. But, man, I do think they're superior to Houston. One of my favorite plays of the week. I won't have a pre-flop bet, just put it this way. But I would, you know, if push came to shove and, you know, you gave me $20, I'd probably bet UCF minus 2.5. The other game, I did get involved on the under early in the week on the A&M, the Arkansas game. Another thing, I was looking to bet A&M because it looked like the market really was starting to get high on Arkansas, where I thought the line was going to possibly drop to 10, but we've seen some buyback on the Aggies. Look, Arkansas is much improved. They're 4-0 against the spread. They're covering by 12 points per game. I get it. They're one of the most improved teams in the country. I like their coaching staff, but again, they're still getting outgained by 72 yards per game this season. They benefited from plus 6 turnovers. I mean, they were clearly overmatched when they played Georgia. And A&M's not Georgia, but they're not too far away. This is by far the second-best team Arkansas has played. So I'd actually lean A&M here. As long as it's under 14, I lean Aggies.
A lot of people, you know, kind of confused about Kansas State, now a 4-point dog at West Virginia. But I'm kind of leaning with the Mountaineers here. Am I getting suckered into this thing, or is this really an off line?
Yeah, pure power rating probably says Kansas State's the play, but the spot I think screams West Virginia, at least for me. And, you know, matchup-wise, you look at the statistical profiles. I mean, West Virginia's outgaining their opponents by 200 yards per game. Kansas State's getting outgained by 60. I mean, that says that West Virginia should be – you know, laying more than a touchdown here. You know, I bet West Virginia last week lost. They're just not completely buttoned up. I mean, penalties, turnovers, don't do the little things well, where Kansas State does all the little things well. As far as, you know, turnover margin, they're +8. I think they have the best special teams unit in the entire country. They're great as an underdog, 67% against the spread since 2009. That's what keeps me off West Virginia here. I do think the sharp side is West Virginia, but everything I mentioned says, you know, it's just keeping me off of it. I can't bet the Mountaineers back-to-back weeks.
I guess the premier game this week, the featured game, is Ohio State at Penn State. Even though Penn State didn't hold up their end of the deal last week, that number's gone from Buckeyes -9.5 to now -11.5. Can Penn State hang with the Bucks?
I bet 8. There's another one Sunday morning. Need to get you guys out here Sunday morning. Circus Sports, it's the place to be.
I hear they pay 3-2 on blackjack, too.
Yeah. Well, boy, that's I look a place. Forward to it. I owe you guys some dinner bets, I think. So you guys get out here. I'll treat you to dinner somewhere. We'll have to see what ends up being the best place there. But that would be my hangout. You know, the whiteout is usually a good hangout for Penn State, and this would be the whiteout game for them, but no crowd significantly impacts their chances of winning this one. I mean, the highest home field edge I give to any team in any game is the Penn State night whiteout, and it's just not going to be there for them. And I don't think they're buttoned up enough. I mean, James Franklin to me is a good coach, but he's not a great one. Last week showed that. I want to take Penn State just because the whole world is going to say, hey, you know, Ohio State should roll them here. But I just, Ohio State didn't even play that well last week and covered a huge number against Nebraska. I mean, you look up and they got 52 points, and I think Penn State's going to play really well. But again, it's going to be a spot where, you know, Ohio State that is maybe up 7 late in the game, boom, bang, and then all of a sudden maybe they're winning by 17. So I'd still lean Ohio State even though the numbers climbed up.
Yeah, it's 12.5 on the site I'm looking at now. You still feel good up until about, what, 13.5?
Probably 13.5, 14, I'd play back Penn State.
Yeah, my daughter's a freshman at Penn State, and she texted me after the game last week about Ohio State is going to eat our souls next week. This is embarrassing.
Yeah, and so, that worries me, because whenever anybody says that, the whole world says one thing, I like going the other. I mean, I knew where the market, and keep in mind, when I'm betting these circle openers, a lot of it's not just numbers. I don't even care about the handicap. I'm just betting numbers, and
right.
I'm betting public perception. And when I saw 8, I'm like, hell, that's at least going to 10, if not 13, 14. I mean, I just, and then I can play back later in the week. So if it continues to climb, I mean, I could talk myself into Penn State.
Let me ask you one more real quick. It seems like Oklahoma's finally starting to pull it together. 14.5 at Texas Tech's a big number. Do you have faith now that Oklahoma's kind of righted it and that's a trustworthy team, or is that too much?
No, it's not. And probably my biggest, like, you know, hindsight's always 20/20, but, you know, Oklahoma should have been on my card last week against TCU. I kind of got that feel that when they pulled out the Texas game that they turned the corner, and they certainly looked the part last week against TCU. Now they're playing, in my opinion, even a lesser team. And Texas Tech, I know Texas Tech got a big win last week, so they'll be feeling good about themselves. But I think Oklahoma's the play here. I'm not wild about laying 14.5, but, you know, my power rankings say it should be closer to 17, so I do lean Sooners.
All right, that's Brad Powers. Follow him on Twitter at BradPowers7. Check out BradPowersSports.com, and he's got all kinds of good stuff on there. And as you can tell from listening to him, he's a genius. Brad, appreciate the time, man. Look forward to talking to you next week, and cash some tickets, buddy.
Hey, really appreciate you guys. Take care. Good luck this week.
Thank you. You too. It's Brad Powers, at BradPowers7 on Twitter.com.
He's really the best of the Brad Powers. The other six don't count.
Yeah, they're all garbage.
Yeah.
Let me tell you guys about what's going on Saturday night. Gervonta Davis, Tank Davis, against Leo El Terremoto Santa Cruz, live on pay-per-view. That's this Saturday, October 31st. Two of the sport's most popular fighters, Tank Davis, Leo Santa Cruz, will meet in one of the best fights that can be made in boxing right now. A true 50-50 matchup between a couple of all-action fighters making their pay-per-view debuts. And it's a really rare situation where the fight's going to happen at 130 pounds, but they're going to be for Santa Cruz's 130-pound title and Davis's 135-pound title. So both belts on the line, two different weight classes. Three-time world champ Gervonta Davis, obviously a protege of Floyd Mayweather, against Leo Santa Cruz, who is in the biggest fight of his career, four-division world champion. Going to be fantastic. And a stacked undercard, WBA super lightweight champion Mario Barrios taking on Ryan Carl in the co-featured fight. And, guys, you want to get in on this fight. Purchase the pay-per-view on the Showtime app, on your smart TV, or any connected device. You can order online at Showtime.com, or you can just contact your cable TV or satellite provider. But make sure you get hooked up for Gervonta Davis and Leo Santa Cruz live on Showtime pay-per-view this Saturday night.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.